The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents...
We love the
herb. Normal Show Live! Marijuana Nation! Now, here's your host... Normal's outreach coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome. It is Tuesday, January 17th, 2012, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to the show. We are so glad that you could make it here, and we hope you're telling your friends all about Normal Show Live and the Normal Network. We want to build this network and make it the home for the cannabis community, so thank you for being a part of that. Also joining us from our virtual studio in beautiful Grastoria, Oregon, is my good friend, our senior news editor, Cannabis Carrie.
Hello, Russ. Hello, full studio.
Oh, yeah. We've got a full studio today. I got to get all these intros. First of all, sitting to my right here in the co-host chair, we got Ganja John.
What's up, everybody?
Oh, we got to get Ganja John on mic, though.
We got to help. Yeah, we got to make that happen. What's up, everybody? How you doing, Russ?
Doing really good. You had a birthday party last night?
I did. My wife had her 26th birthday, so I spent all day getting ready for that, and it was a hit.
Oh, my gosh. You guys are all so young. 26. Yeah. My goodness. All right. At the end of the table, we got Wiz Calico hanging out here. How you doing, Wiz?
Hey, doing pretty good. Glad to be back.
Yeah, good to see you here. We've also got in studio Todd for Todd's Toker Topics. He's going to be joining us later today.
Hello.
Hey, what's your topic for today, Todd?
Appearances.
Appearances can be deceiving, I understand. All right, we'll get to that and more on today's show. But first, after the first break, we do our hemp headlines with Cannabis Carrie. So, Carrie, what do we have in the news today?
Well, today there is a new state that introduced a medical marijuana legislation bill today. I'll tell you which state that is. Also, something that we talk about a lot here on the show, some more PTSD study information that I want to give to our listeners. And first up, if you're making some travel plans, you better check your criminal records. That all coming up on the Hemp Headlines today.
Yep, I'm going to follow that up with a story that's going all around the internet right now. You remember us telling you about drug testing for welfare? Well, karma can be a real bitch, and we're going to tell you all about that. Also on today's show, it's Electric Tuesday, so we've got some new electronica music, something kind of trancy for today's show, The Elixir for Sunsets. And then we've got Paul Kuhn from Tennessee Normal. He's also on the Normal Board of Directors. He's here to talk about the Tennessee Marijuana Education Day coming up in a couple of weeks. And of course, Todd's Toker Topic and a radical rant for me. We're going to talk a little bit about drug testing and why it is so wrong for this country and how it doesn't even achieve its stated goals of reducing workplace dangers or increasing workplace productivity. We've got that and more coming up on today's Normal Show Live, followed by an hour of Toker Talk Radio at 5 o'clock Pacific, where you can call in at 971-533-7111 to make your voice heard and be a part of the Marijuana Nation. I'm Radical Russ. We're back with the news right after this.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation.
Weedmaps.com. I'm Radical Russ from Normal. My job as outreach coordinator, I travel every month, and when I'm on the road, I need a fast, accurate way to find the medical marijuana dispensaries in the area. So I turn to weedmaps.com. Weedmaps.com has the best dispensary locator online or on your mobile device. Search by zip code or let Weedmaps find you, and in seconds, you'll have the addresses, phone numbers, and customer service reviews for the medical marijuana dispensaries in the local area. WeedMaps.com also has a section devoted to helping you find a doctor who understands and recommends medical marijuana under your state's law. You can even check prices on the Medical Marijuana Stock Exchange. Coming soon, you'll even be able to find the listings of normal attorneys and chapters, local head shops and grow shops, and the best weed-friendly businesses. WeedMaps.com has the information you need to be an informed cannabis consumer. Visit WeedMaps.com today, a proud sponsor of the Normal Network. Inhaling deeply all
the sacred smoke. You know why we pirates love the Normal Show? Har har! Because it's always smoking, matey. Har 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 har.
Hi, I'm Radical Russ. One of the best things about marijuana is the wonderful aroma. But when you travel a lot like I do, that aroma becomes a suspicious smell. That's why I endorse stealth-products.com, the leaders in smell-proof containers. From smell-proof vacuum bags to smell-proof backpacks and duffel bags, all the way to smell-proof digital safes, stealth-products.com has you covered. Stealth-products.com brings you safe, secure, odorless layers of protection with activated carbon fiber. Backpacks and duffel bags are simple black so as not to attract attention with a logo or flashy design. Now, nothing is perfectly odor-controlled from the detection of drug dogs, but with proper vigilance, containers from stealth-products.com will help you avoid nosy humans.
You're now listening to Elliot Beats.
Stealth-products.com. Stealth-products.com.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carrie.
Back in 1967, a 24-year-old man was arrested for having a decorative pipe that tested positive for marijuana residue. Back in 1967, Adrian Dorst was given a suspended sentence. The now 45-year-old British Columbian is a professional nature photographer and was planning on taking a dream trip to the forest village in Ecuador for 2 months of hiking and photographing birds that can be found nowhere else on the planet. But U.S. officials discovered Dorst's criminal past last week and denied him access to fly through the U.S., costing the photographer a $1,250 airline ticket and untold income from his trip to Ecuador. Last week, at the beginning of his journey, Dorst was waiting at a Vancouver International Airport for his flight to Ecuador that involved a 2.5-hour layover in Houston, Texas. Just before boarding the airline, a U.S. border agent in Vancouver checked his passport and asked him a few questions. But then, instead of allowing him to board, he was asked to step inside a second room for additional screening. After a few hours, the U.S. agent finally revealed that she knew of a suspended drug sentence from 1967. The charge came after police raided some communal apartments in Ontario that Dorst was living at the time and found the pipe in question hanging on a wall as a decorative piece. Dorst told them at the time even the judge in the case publicly criticized the police for arresting him. When the border agent asked about other arrests, Dorst admitted that he was locked up in 1988 and spent one night in jail with fellow anti-mining protesters, and that same year he was put in jail for contempt over another anti-logging protest. After the extra hours being detained at the Canadian airport by U.S. officials, Dorst was fingerprinted and let go, but not allowed entrance to the U.S. He is sending an invoice to the U.S. Homeland Security for the $1,250 ticket he's out for the ticket, but he doubts they'll pay. He said that he has crossed the border many times since 1967 without incident. Typically, at the U.S. border crossings, all those crossing or entering the U.S. get a primary check and are asked a few questions. If you aren't wanted, then you're on your way. Red flags will stop someone for further questioning. It could be a warrant or a criminal record that shows moral turpitude. That would be crimes like assault or robbery on your record that would be grounds for a denial. Drunk driving won't get you denied access, but a drug conviction will. And it doesn't matter if it was for a tiny amount of pipe resin from 45 years ago or a truckload of ecstasy and heroin from last week. They look at drug convictions the same. You will get denied if they happen to look into your criminal records. People like Dorst are allowed to apply to U.S. Homeland Security for a waiver to travel through, but that would cost about $1,000, and the waiver is only good for travel up to 1 year, and then you have to reapply. Oftentimes, border guards will look at a record like Dorst and let him go with warning to get the waiver and to tell them to get the waiver next time that they fly. But when asked if he will try for the waiver, Dorst said absolutely not. Even though it will be very expensive, he will choose to fly around the U.S. at all costs, saying he never wants to deal with these people again, wondering what purpose is served by declaring him a threat to the U.S.
You know, this is the perfect story to recount to someone whenever you hear them say, well, nobody really goes to jail for marijuana anyway. Well, that might be true in some respects, but in a lot of respects, there's so many other things in your rights and your liberties that are affected for your life for having a drug conviction. And this is, we're talking about a guy who had a pipe on the wall back before I was born. I mean, 1967, for God's sake. And that's treated just as badly as if he'd been trafficking 5 kilograms of heroin across the border or something like that. It's just absurd. And it's yet another example of how these drug laws affect people's lives every day and continue to affect people's lives every day, and why we must end this stupid prohibition. We cannot continue to treat this justice system this way, or people will continue to have less and less respect for the justice system overall. It's time to end this drug prohibition, and let's let this guy travel, okay?
And one of our favorite Republicans from the state of Idaho has introduced a medical marijuana bill into the Idaho House today. Representative Tom Trail introduced House Bill 370, as a personal bill in a state that does have the option of a citizen initiative. Now, this is the second time in Idaho and the second time for Representative Trail to introduce a medical marijuana bill. Last year, a similar bill from Trail got an informal hearing from the House Health and Welfare Committee, but was tabled in that committee. House Bill 370 would allow patients with debilitating medical conditions to have up to 2 ounces of marijuana every 28 days, but it would be no grow, meaning they would have to obtain that marijuana from a state-authorized alternative treatment center. The bill's wording says that compassion will dictate that a distinction be made between medical and non-medical uses of marijuana, and to protect from arrest, prosecution, property forfeiture, and criminal or other penalties, patients who use marijuana to alleviate suffering from debilitating medical conditions, as well as their physicians, primary caregivers, and those who are authorized to produce marijuana for medical purposes. Now, there is a group in Idaho who are currently gathering signatures for a citizens' initiative to legalize marijuana, but Trail says that other states have shown that legislation with tight controls is preferable to a voter initiative. The House Bill 370 was introduced today and is waiting for an assignment for a committee hearing. The group collecting signatures in Idaho has not declared a timeline yet for when they will be turning in those signatures for review.
You know, there's something very telling in Tom Trail, Representative Trail's statement there, where he said it's preferable to have tightly controlled legislation than a voter initiative. And the reason why is because when voter initiatives get passed, they tend to be better as far as medical marijuana patients are concerned. I mean, here we've got them talking about making Idaho another one of yet another no home grow state for medical cannabis. I think we've got 4 now. That would make them the 5th. Extreme limits on how much is able to be possessed, tight restrictions on what sort of conditions a person must have. And of course, you can't look at a person suffering from cancer in Twin Falls, or suffering from HIV/AIDS in Coeur d'Alene, or suffering from chronic pain in Boise and say, sorry, we're not going to pass this because it doesn't go far enough. And that's kind of the bind that we're put in as proponents of legalization, is that, you know, something I mentioned yesterday on MLK Day, this tranquilizing drug of gradualism, as Dr. King called it, this gradual need to take these baby steps because we're afraid that the public's not going to vote for the full legalization that we want. I say that it's time, at least in the initiative states, that we push initiatives to get what we really want out of these laws, out of these medical marijuana or full legalization laws, and let that be the leverage against the legislature to make them finally go and do something. But don't rest on your laurels. Remember that just because you get a medical marijuana law passed, that's just the beginning of justice. There still remains plenty of work to be done so that all users of cannabis are free from arrest in this country.
And marijuana can be used to treat post-traumatic stress disorder very effectively. At least that is what the anecdotal evidence suggests. Some of the science of that treatment was explained in research involving rats working to remember where a platform was in a cloudy tank of water. But U.S. researchers have not been able to do any clinical research due to the bureaucratic hurdles of studying cannabis for any medical condition. But for years, the Multidisciplinary Association of Psychedelic Studies have been working at the University of Arizona College of Medicine to try and get approval for the first U.S. clinical examinations of the benefits of cannabis for veterans suffering from the debilitating effects of PTSD. They are hoping to do a 3-month-long study of combat veterans from Iraq and Afghanistan who are experiencing difficulties due to PTSD. The researchers are now just one bureaucratic hoop away from gaining final approval of of that study. They are waiting, unfortunately, for the National Institute on Drug Abuse and Public Health Service to agree to sell the researchers the marijuana they need for the study or agree to let them import it legally through their agency. The university study calls for a triple-blind study that would include a placebo to treat 50 veterans whose PTSD symptoms have not been alleviated from any of the current medical treatments. The research method would be tightly controlled with participants smoking or vaporizing 1.8 grams a day, the equivalent of two joints. The research may be petitioned from the neighboring state of New Mexico, where the qualifying conditions to obtain medical marijuana card include PTSD. It happens to be the number one diagnosis for a medical marijuana card there, and 27% of the total patients in the New Mexico program have PTSD listed as their only qualification. But so far, the health benefits of cannabis for PTSD is only anecdotal, and they are looking for a way to provide evidence that cannabis might be another tool to help returning soldiers from war. Drugs like Zoloft and Paxil have proven inadequate to help with PTSD for soldiers in particular. Colorado tried to add PTSD as a qualifying condition for Colorado's large veteran population, but that effort failed. The federal government seems divided on the issue, with government agencies like the Veterans Administration that have expressed interest in learning more about medical marijuana for vets, but with other governmental agencies like the DEA blocking any research. There are current studies of cannabis on PTSD sufferers in Israel and in Germany, Switzerland, and Spain. They are currently researching the benefits of MDMA or ecstasy on PTSD sufferers.
You know, this is really maddening, and I've got to remember to ask Dr. Mitch this tomorrow, but I love it when they talk about having a triple-blind, placebo-controlled study on cannabis. How do you give someone a cannabis placebo and them not know that it's a placebo? Because when you smoke cannabis or vaporize it, you get that euphoric high feeling. What do they give them that would act as a placebo that you wouldn't – you'd smoke it and go, well – this must be the placebo because I'm not getting high. I just don't understand how that works. We'll ask Dr. Mitch about that. But as far as PTSD goes, we know so many combat veterans going back to the Vietnam era, but you know, even now in Iraq and Afghanistan, for whom medical cannabis is as a lifesaver for them. It allows them to sleep at night, allows them to function in society. It's well past time that we get these studies done. And the National Institutes of Drug Abuse have been dragging their feet on this and rejecting the most established researchers' requests to be able to do this research. And furthermore, when they do get that cannabis from the University of Mississippi pot farm, the federal government's pot farm, it's of such lousy quality. It's like 4% THC that they're giving these people that it's going to be hard to determine whether or not it does have any effect because it just may not be potent enough to give us the effect that we want. It's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy. We'll give you a lousy pot. You get lousy results. See, pot's not all that great. It's time that we release this this plant and its prohibition so scientists all over this country can study many different varieties, many different potencies of cannabis, and not be locked into the federal government's monopoly at the U.S. Mississippi pot farm. And one more story here in the news that I wanted to bring up because I'm a big fan of Schadenfreude. This one comes from the state of Georgia. The Georgia representative who proposed drug testing for welfare busted for DUI. That's right. Georgia State Representative John Andrew Kip Smith was arrested last Friday in Buckhead, Georgia, on a charge of driving under the influence. According to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, the Republican legislator was pulled over by police after allegedly running a red light after leaving a local restaurant. The police officer who pulled over Representative Smith smelled alcohol and asked Smith if he'd been drinking. First, he said no, then claimed he'd had one beer 45 minutes earlier. When the officer asked Smith to blow into a breathalyzer, he refused, asking instead to be tested at the hospital. When the officer explained that that only happens after an arrest, Smith relented and blew into the device, registering a blood alcohol content of 0.091, which is over the per se limit of 0.08. Smith again changed his story to say that he'd had a beer 15 minutes before, not 45 minutes earlier. Police then say Smith failed two field sobriety tests. After being placed under arrest, Smith blew twice more into the breathalyzer, measuring 0.099 and 0.100. According to most DUI tables, a 180-pound man would need three beers, and a 240-pound man would need four beers to register a 0.100. And that's a figure that decreases by 0.01 for every 40 minutes after drinking. Even a 100-pound woman after one beer would only be at a 0.07. Now, if the name Representative Kip Smith rings a bell for readers of this blog, it's because he was one of the six who co-sponsored House Bill 464, quote, to require random drug testing for recipients of certain public assistance. The sponsor, Republican Representative Jason Spencer, had said of the proposed testing, quote, Georgia taxpayers have a vested interest in making sure their hard-earned tax dollars aren't used to subsidize drug addiction, end quote. Wait. Aren't hard-earned Georgia tax dollars paying Representative Smith's salary? What will Georgians think of subsidizing drunk drivers who lie to the police? Or is drug addiction only reprehensible when it's poor people using non-liquid drugs? I think that's only the poor people.
You almost did it there. Almost made it.
1 second to go, man. Missed it by that much.
Let's take a break.
Be right back after this.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break. You know what I mean? Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Shotty Slim, a.k.a., I don't know what I'm talking about, man. The contact in here is crazy.
Breathe, breathe in the air. Don't be afraid to care. Leave, but don't leave me.
This is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Our marijuana laws are terribly unfair, and they make criminals out of law-abiding citizens. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges, and we are unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They are average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. And it's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORMAL, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420 friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today we bring you Tunes for Electric Tuesday, our segment featuring the best of modern electric music in the genres of dance, new age, house, and experimental. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tune.
All right, well, today for Electric Tuesday, I thought we'd take a little trip to the Buddha Cafe. This album and its successor, Buddha Cafe 2, collect some of the best trance music from the web. And today's song is from a producer called Phobos, which is one of the moons of the planet Mars, I believe, isn't it?
I think so. Phobos?
I gotta
find that. Is that a Martian moon?
It's the one that looks like a potato, I believe.
Oh, it's the potato moon.
It's a potato-looking
right,
moon.
Right,
so,
this with a pH.
Yeah. That's right. Phobos, one of the... I'm sure there's a Greek god that's named after. I forget which one. Phobos, Deimos, whatever.
Yeah.
But here we go. This is Elixir for Sunsets, which kind of sounds like a good description of hash oil, actually. Here's hoping you get to enjoy a little elixir and a beautiful sunset sometime soon.
At some cool's next strain.
That's right. This is Phobos with Elixir for Sunset.
Alternative Medical Choices offers healthcare the way it should be. Easy to access, patient-centered, team-based, and quality-focused. We offer a variety of natural, affordable healthcare treatment options like primary care, group acupuncture, massage, and assistance with OMP registration. As a patient, you will have a team of experts working with you to make you the best you can be. Call Alternative Medical Choices at 503-288-5579 or check us out on the web at altmedchoices.com.
Pot 2.0. It's not your father's Woodstock weed.
I said, what did you do? He says, Poppy walks out and he goes, hello, suck this and MF and kiss my big black stuff and suck it and stick it down your mouth and suck it, suck it.
Normal Show Live chat is for friends aged 18 and older. And we expect our chat to be civil, mature, and free from excessive profanity. If you don't like these rules, there are approximately 6 billion other chat rooms with lower standards you can visit.
You cannot say filth, slime, filth, slime, filth in front of people.
It's just not something to say.
All of us can get a piece of that pie. And the reason we don't have headway is because that 1% can't figure out how they're going to make all the money.
It just has something to say.
Your Sunday morning and Wednesday evening pot and politics immediately following Danny Danko's free weed here on
The Libra Lounge.
The effects of marijuana prohibition are felt by all Americans in every walk of life, regardless of race, creed, color, religion, social status, wealth, gender, sexual orientation, or even one's use or non-use of marijuana. As the marijuana smokers lobby, Normal hears the stories of these average Americans and brings them to the attention of our policymakers and our fellow citizens in this segment we call Normal Newsmakers.
Welcome back, everyone. 32 after the hour, we are joined by Paul Kuhn, who's a member of the Tennessee Normal and a member of the Normal Board of Directors, in addition to his great work on civil liberties law and all the other things you're doing. Paul, welcome back to the show.
Russ, glad to be on.
Glad to have you here. And, of course, the occasion for having you here on the show is the upcoming Marijuana Education Day in Nashville. Tell our listeners a little bit about it.
It'll be next Saturday, January 28th, the educational process, day process seminar. We'll begin at 10:30 at the Sunset Grill in Nashville, pretty familiar to most residents in the Hillsborough Village area, and continue to, through 3 o'clock. Keith will be our lunchtime speaker. Keith Strop, the founder of Normal and my longtime 40-year friend, not 40-year-old, 40 years of friendship. We'll have a medical panel that I think will be compelling. We got some great patient stories. We'll have a legal panel and a legislative panel, and again, that's from 10:30 to 3 at Sunset Grill in Nashville. And then that evening, also at the Sunset Grill, we'll have a fundraising dinner featuring Keith. The cost for the lunch is $30, and the cost for the fundraising dinner is $125.
Excellent. All going to a good cause, Tennessee Normal, which is working to change the marijuana laws in the state of Tennessee. And what do we have on the irons in the fire, so to speak, on marijuana law reform in Tennessee that we're raising funds to help support?
Well, it's more educational, not just the day, but also the process, Russ, of educating citizens and legislators. In the legislature now, we have a medical marijuana bill, the Safe Access Bill, that was introduced in 2010. It carries over to the current session. It went much farther than anyone expected. We even had the only position in the legislature, a Republican, small-town Republican, who said he was going to oppose the bill, and then after talking to patients, God bless him, decided he wouldn't oppose it. I can't really recall if he voted for it, but he was moved by the patient's experience. So it got much farther than anyone would have expected. The bill's in the hopper now. We're not sure whether we'll actually push for a vote. There was a big shift towards the Republican Party in the last election. They now dominate, they hold the governorship and dominate both the Senate and the House. So we've probably got a lot more education to do before we begin to push that bill. The governor has proposed some changes to the criminal justice laws in this state to make them more efficient, more economical, and we hope we can maybe get a decrim provisions in that kind of, I guess you can't sneak it in, but it wouldn't have to be its own bill if we can get to enough legislators to consider that, because it's our southern neighbor, Mississippi, which decriminalized marijuana in the 1970s. They showed us you can save millions of dollars and keep a lot of people out of the criminal justice system who don't belong there.
You know, I know when people think of Tennessee, if they're not from the area, they must think, wow, you know, in the South, got to be hard to change laws there. There's probably not a lot of public support. What's your take of the pulse of the public support for these reforms?
Well, you know, you look at the national statistics or the regional data from the national statistics, and support for medical is strong throughout the country, including the South. My guess is we've got about 65% to 75%. We did have a legislator a couple of years ago in rural East Tennessee, which is very conservative, put a poll in one of his newsletters, and you know, it came back with a majority favoring medical marijuana. So he said, well, his constituents were just misinformed. Of course, it's he who is misinformed. So medical, we know we've got the support of a strong majority, but we still got to work on the legislators who kind of don't realize that. And on legalization, you know, it's less than a majority. It's probably the lowest section of the country. But like every place else, it's moving up from teens to 20s to 30s. My guess is we're in the 30s to 40s here for outright legalization, but there's just no doubt the issue is moving all across the country.
Well, you know, that area of the country as well, Kentucky, Tennessee, is both are known for quite a bit of marijuana growing, and their statistics as far as their use of marijuana don't seem to be that different from other areas of the country. So politically speaking, what is it going to take to push these legislators over the edge and want to be on our side of the issue, or at least not in opposition to us?
Well, I think it's going to take their hearing from constituents. That's really what it always takes, and we just got to get better organized to do that. I think the potential is certainly there. Both Kentucky and Tennessee, marijuana is the largest cash crop, so golly, it kind of makes sense to regulate it and tax it. And there is a long history of growing marijuana here, particularly in Kentucky, that goes back to the days when the government was encouraging farmers to grow it for hemp. Although they later, as you know, they later denied that ever took place, but they sure did. So there's that, and there's also the fact, Russ, that these were big tobacco growing states, and that tobacco crop has been dwindling and dwindling. So it's a way to replace, to give farmers a replacement for the tobacco, for which the demand happily is dying, just like the tobacco smokers are dying off.
And we're speaking with Paul Kuhn from the Normal Board of Directors, also with Tennessee Normal, and we're preparing for the Marijuana Education Day that will be taking place Saturday, January 28th. What's the time again?
Time for the afternoon daytime session, which is morning to afternoon, 10:30 to 3 p.m., and then the evening dinner will be 7 p.m., Sunset Grill in Nashville.
All right. And is there website information where people can get maps or any more information?
You know, we need to do, that's one thing in organizational-wise, we're working on our website, but it's not really up and operating yet. I'd say the best way to get information is just email Tennessee Normal, TNNORML, at gmail.com.
Okay, Tennessee Normal.
Normal.
Yeah, TN, the abbreviation for Tennessee.
TNNORML at gmail.com.
Right, all right. We'll get that information out to our chat room and to the people on the blogs that might want to follow up with this. The subject of today's show, Paul, I'm going to be talking a little bit later about drug testing. And one of the things we've heard going around proposed in many states is this idea of drug testing recipients of state assistance benefits, welfare, temporary assistance to needy families, and so forth. Is there anything like that brewing in the Tennessee legislature?
Regrettably, there is. Our lieutenant governor, who is also, I guess he's Speaker of the Senate, has proposed, in fact, there was an editorial or an article on this today, Russ, and I thought about it right again. He said anyone who receives government benefits, and he didn't make it state, he just said government benefits should be drug tested. I thought, wow, I'm on Social Security. Does that mean I should be drug tested? And he's getting government benefits, of course. It's his salary from the government. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's in the hopper. My guess is, and this is maybe being a little too cynical or maybe just accurate, that one of the state reps, U.S. reps now from Tennessee, who was very involved in the legislature, big Republican state rep or state senator, I forget which, when she was here, Diane Black, her husband owns a drug testing company. So we all know that the only people who benefit from drug testing are those who run the drug testing companies, and we all know that that test is really designed or just functions as a test for marijuana, because cocaine, heroin, those drugs don't show up if you do them over the weekend. Doesn't test for alcohol, which causes violence and a lot of lost time at work. You know, doesn't test for, in most cases, doesn't test for tobacco, which is going to kill more people. So, in effect, what drug testing does, it seems to me, is steer people away from marijuana, which is virtually harmless, to alcohol, tobacco, cocaine, meth. We got a huge meth problem here, and yet we're going to spend dollars, some state dollars, and of course the recipient's own money, having mandatory drug testing. So it's just a farce, but it does benefit the drug testing companies, who I am sure, you know, contribute to the politicians, so this kind of crap gets pushed in legislatures.
Yeah, it's such a shame. Well, Paul Kuhn from Tennessee Normal and the Normal Board of Directors, thank you for putting on that Marijuana Education Day. Again, it's on January 28th at the Sunset Grill in Nashville, Tennessee. Normal founder Keith Straup will be there for the afternoon lunch as well as the fundraising dinner. And give us the ticket prices again.
It's a very economical $30 for the daytime seminar and lunch, and a pretty expensive $125, but for dinner. It is a fundraiser, though, and Keith Straup's worth every dollar.
Oh, absolutely. He's got so much to tell and so much wisdom for us all to learn from. And, Paul, I want to thank you for joining us here on Normal Show Live, and we'll talk to you again sometime.
Thank you, Russ.
Thank you. All right, when we come back, we are going to have Todd's Toker Topics. We're talking about appearances followed by a radical rant on drug testing. This is Normal Show Live.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Just say no.
No matter what you call it, it's a huge part of popular culture.
Where'd you learn that, Cheech? Drug school.
You don't need weed school. You just need a copy of the new book, Pot Culture, The A to Z Guide to Stoner Language and Life.
Hey, this is great, man.
Even if you never smoked marijuana.
I never used marijuana. Sorry.
Don't think you smoked marijuana.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two and didn't inhale.
Or you used to smoke marijuana.
I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
Pot Culture by former High Times editor Steve Bloom and Shirley Halperin will answer every question you ever had about marijuana culture.
Has that marijuana made it back up here yet?
Check out Pot Culture, the A to Z Guide to Stoner Language and Life at Amazon.com or visit PotCultureBook.com today.
Too bad, man. I just stopped smoking yesterday.
Here at Normal Show Live, we spend all week taking a look at the tragedy of American marijuana prohibition. But it's important to take a break and remember that we are a vibrant, diverse, and oftentimes hilarious community of people. So our friend, comedian Todd Armstrong, joins us to poke fun at one of Todd's Toker Topics.
All right, welcome back. 43 after, and Todd is there on camera and on the mic. How you doing?
Great. I'm actually doing really, really good.
Oh, so glad to hear it. Before we get into the topic, appearing locally, any shows we can tell people?
Locally, I'm really, really stoked to open up for Amy Schumer for the Valentine's Day show and consequently the rest of the week at Helium. That should be a great show.
Huh? I'm super stoked about that show.
John likes the access of having a friend that's a comic with such a comedy crush and the wife working.
Yeah, it's a
perfect vortex for him to crush on a beautiful, fabulous comic.
I have a little bit of a crush on Amy Schumer. It's true. If you're listening, Amy, I'll see you soon.
Yeah, but I will not see her soon because I'll be out in Butte, Montana this week and then Miles City and Glasgow throughout the weekend.
All right.
So, the Montana folks out there.
People can find that on Facebook.com/
Goob the Knob.
Goob the Knob. Yeah, and absolutely. On Twitter now, it's Arm Todd Strong.
Yes, sir.
Love. All right. So, you know, speaking of good looking, the topic for today is appearances. Todd,
yes.
Take it away.
Thank you very much. I enjoy the appearances of the cannabis I guess, users and most the viewers out and viewers in. And I'd like to surmise this with, I just got to doing a little run across Washington State. And when I was in Wenatchee, I got stopped by a drunk guy that told me, I want to buy you a beer, but you're too pretty to be straight. And so I was like, and then his girlfriend was like, it was very caught off guard that I wasn't offended by being called gay. And I was like, fair enough, moving on. 2 days later, I was in Richland, Washington, and I was doing radio there. And the guy stopped and said, well, Todd, you're quite a scary guy with all your tattoos. And I'm just, the appearances of that. And when I get to talking about the fact that I'm proud of the fact that I want to legalize cannabis, people are shocked by that because I always get the, you smoke pot. And that's based upon appearances because everyone is constantly thinking that every pothead has to be Cheech and Chong. Like that's just, it's an immortal stereotype that we need to crush, and it's a little bit ridiculous because what I want to focus on is the appearance of prohibition. It's just a big bully. Everyone's concerned about being focused on by the bully. If we just live out loud like we want to live, everyone I know that smokes pot is still afraid to admit that to people. And that's because of the appearance of that. Most folks that smoke pot don't even know that it can be used for medicine, and legitimate medicine. We have salves, we have tinctures, we have lotions because it used to be medicine. Most potheads from the 60s and my parents' generations are shocked to find out that you can make paint out of marijuana. Like, that's not the same stuff that Coleco showed me a tweet from a random woman that, like, she was offended that her new hemp protein milkshake was a derivative of marijuana. She was like, oog, yuck, you know, bad face emoticon. It was ridiculous. But people need to just embrace the fact that the appearance is not what it is because prohibition's just scary. If we look back in 20 years and we flip the script on prohibition, we're going to look back at the modern age of today as the new roaring 20s and 30s. Mm-hmm. Chicago was cool. Tommy guns are awesome. Slutty girls and flappy dresses, that's cool. Like, we need to embrace what it is. The appearance will be different once we flip the script. And I would like to focus on the fact that we need to continue the progress of it. We need to stop the infighting of the appearance of the outside world views the modern-day cannabis legalization community as fractured like the Occupy movement. And if we unify and take any bit of process we can take, it's a ratcheting effect. Now, whether that be decriminalization or the appearance of rescheduling or whatever you want to call it, I understand it may be BS, or I know this is in the second hour, I can't curse, bullshit to you. But you know what? It's a ratcheting effect. You'll still live your life the way you want to live. You'll still live as loud as you want to live. You'll still do what you want. You'll still be the Ganja Johns in the world, and there'll still be my uncles and aunts out there. You know what? That'll still do things but not want to ever admit it. Except for the one uncle that you know that has, you know, the ponytail and the fanny pack. Everyone knows, but that's the appearance of our own fault. But no matter what, it comes down to prohibition clearly appears to be doing well more harm than cannabis, and we just need to enjoy the fact that the internet is out there, and it's going to get out there, and it's going to appear to be better every day. So continue to sign petitions, continue to take anything. If at least rescheduling is what it is, I know it's not full legalization, but it appears to be better than nothing. So thank you. I will see you next Tuesday. I'm Todd Armstrong.
Yeah, yeah. Well done, my man. Well done. All right. So in the spirit of appearances and the topic for today, I'm going to go out of this segment with testimony from Sergeant Simpson at the Colorado Legislature. This is on the appearance of marijuana use. Let's go with Sergeant Simpson.
Sergeant Craig Simpson.
There are other tests which officers can perform that may help them to make this determination. Tests such as one called lack of convergence, which looks to see whether or not a person is able to cross their eyes. Marijuana is a drug that prevents a person from being able to cross their eyes. Interestingly, it is the only drug category that doesn't allow a person to cross their eyes and also does not allow the person to exhibit a jerkiness of their eye. So it's a unique drug in that sense. That is the only one to provide that influence.
Hey, bud, let's party.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, I respectfully invoke all my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak to my attorney, Omar Figueroa. Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended the Shaolin Temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
All right, folks, today I wanted to take some time to celebrate the DUI arrest of Representative Kip Smith and his hoisting by his own petard there, the one who proposed drug testing for welfare recipients. And this is, he's not the first one. I mean, we got Governor Scott Walker in Florida has done the same thing. And this seems to be a popular sentiment nowadays. But I think one of the things that's a problem in this is in the argument, oftentimes people will say, well, they drug test me at work. Why shouldn't they drug test people on unemployment or welfare or whatever it is? Not realizing that the answer to you being oppressed is not to oppress more people. This whole drug testing hypocrisy has got to end. And I just want to illustrate some of the reasons why it's just not doing what it's supposed to be doing. First of all, it doesn't tell you whether or not someone is high on marijuana. This is from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration's fact sheet on substances and urine testing. And they show that urine testing is detectable several days to several weeks, even longer for extremely heavy users. THC is a lipid-soluble drug, therefore stores in the fat in the body, and the amount of time it takes to clear the system is dependent on how much drug was used and over what period of time the drug is used. So this is within several weeks or even longer in extremely heavy users. So all drug testing is doing is detecting whether or not someone has used marijuana. Not that they're using marijuana on the job. It's just a way of filtering out a certain undesirable class that we don't want in the workplace. Furthermore, it costs more than it saves. This whole drug testing for welfare idea, part of it is, you know, we shouldn't be subsidizing these drug users and them, you know, not getting jobs and just sitting around on the couch smoking pot. But it actually costs us more money than it saves if we were to just give people their benefits. This comes from the from Central Florida, from their department there that handles their drug research there. They have been referring applicants to clinics where drug screenings cost between $30 and $35. The applicant pays for the test out of his or her own pocket, then the state reimburses him if the test comes back negative. Now, they tested 40 people. 38 of them came back clean. So they had to reimburse those 38 people at least $30 apiece. That's at least $1,140 that that little department had to pay out. Now, for the two people that they caught, they're saving $240 a month total by refusing them benefits. So we're spending $1,100 to save $240. That's how much it's costing us to try to discriminate against people who choose marijuana over Marlboros or Martinis. Now, another way to look at this, we have seen a decrease in the number of positives for marijuana, which is kind of strange because we've actually seen an increase in the number of people who admit to using marijuana. So drug test positives going down, use of marijuana going up. That's kind of interesting. Now, realize it costs about $50 per test on these 2.4 million tests per year that we give for marijuana and other drugs. That works out to $120 million worth of P-testing. Now, we're only getting positives on about 2%. 2%, this is according to the latest data, of the people that are drug tested. So that's 48,000 workers out of the 2.4 million tests that are given. That works out to a cost of $2,500 to catch a pot smoker with a P-test. Now, from purely a cost-benefit analysis, we'd have to assume that a pot-smoking employee somehow costs the company more than $2,500 a year for this to make any sort of sense.
Furthermore, another reason they give for this workplace drug testing, they say it's to improve productivity because we'll have, you know, absenteeism and healthcare costs and people being lazy on the job and so forth. But actually, in a study of high-tech industries, researchers found that, quote, drug testing programs do not succeed in improving productivity. Surprisingly, companies adopting drug testing programs are found to exhibit lower levels of productivity than their counterparts that do not. Both pre-employment and random testing of workers are found to be associated with lower levels of productivity. Now, this is from a study in 1998, but it still is found today in many workplaces. And part of the reason for this is drug testing is a filter that assures that your most talented, your brightest, most productive employees, they have the choice to whether they're going to work at this place, that place, or the other place. They're going to pick the place that doesn't drug test. That leaves the place that drug test with the people that have to take those jobs, have to try to find a way to pass that P-test. Furthermore, it makes workers not report accidents and injuries. This is from a study, a report to the Congressional Requesters on Workplace Safety and Health from OSHA. This was in 2009. Quote, occupational safety and health stakeholders we interviewed and surveyed told us that primary factors affecting the accuracy of injury and illness data include disincentives that affect workers' decisions to report work-related injuries and illnesses, and part of that are the mandatory drug tests that people have to take if they report an accident or an injury. So someone's not going to report that. They're going to go off on their own for fear they're going to lose their job for testing positive for the joint they smoked last weekend. As we continue, it is a flawed system, drug testing. It is a flawed system with false positives that can impact lives. This is a story from just last year. In Jameson Hospital, where Isabella Rodriguez was born on April 27th, they had a policy of drug testing expectant mother's urine for illegal drugs and reporting those results to Child Services without any other evidence that this baby was in danger or the mother was abusive in any sort of way. Unfortunately for the parents of this little baby, the mom, Elizabeth, had eaten a poppy seed bagel, which was enough poppy seed to turn up positive for opiates in her drug test. Her child was taken away from her. Her three-day-old girl was taken from her and put in foster care for 5 days before they worked out this problem. Drug testing impacts innocent families, innocent children. And it discriminates against safer marijuana versus toxic alcohol and pharmaceuticals. This is from the effects of substance use on workplace injuries for the Center for Health Safety in the Workplace, a RAND Corporation study. Although most laws concerning drug testing are at the state level, federal law must be considered when employees do test for alcohol. The Americans with Disabilities Act protects individuals with disabilities from discrimination in the workplace, including alcoholism. Individuals with current alcohol-induced impairments and past alcohol problems are covered under the Americans with Disability Act. Thus, applicants cannot be tested or questioned about alcohol use disorders until after a job offer has been made. And even then, the law restricts when and under what conditions employees may be tested for alcohol use and other alcohol use disorders. Moreover, employment decisions, particularly negative ones, cannot be based on these test results unless the employer can establish impairment caused by alcohol use. On the other hand, use of illegal drugs such as marijuana and the drug use disorders associated with such use are not covered under the Americans with Disability Act. So you can be an alcoholic lush and they cannot use an alcohol test against you in employment or employment-related decisions. But if you smoked a joint on the weekend, that can come back and bite you in the ass the next Friday and cost you your job. And finally, it ignores the biggest drug problem in the workplace, opiates. Random positives for oxycodone are almost twice as great, and post-accident positives for oxycodone are 3 times greater than pre-employment positives for oxycodone, which suggests that pre-employment screens don't work very well at keeping oxycodone abusers out of the workplace. It's time to end this uromancy, this drug testing industrial complex that we've got set up here that is ruining lives, ruining careers, ruining academic careers, and tearing apart families. It's unscientific, it's inaccurate, it's discriminatory, and it must stop now. I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us for Ganja John, Wiz Khalifa, Todd Armstrong, and Cannabis Carry. We'll be back tomorrow with more news and interviews you can use. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers. We love it. We love the earth.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it on one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it.